All right. Well, I told Lee this morning it is the day after Christmas. And I hope all of you had a great Christmas. We usually have my family, and we did. I was telling Allison we love having them, but it really gets a little harder every year. Especially with me, I'm usually in charge of cleanup. And yesterday I was cleanup. So, but anyway, we may feel a little haggard, some of us. Remind me of a couple who were at home on Sunday morning, and the wife was up getting ready, and the husband was dragging his feet and still in bed, and his wife said to him, get up, we got to go to church. He says, I'm not going to church. And she said, well, you got to go to church. He says, why do I have to go? He says, because you're the pastor. I felt a little bit like that this morning. 2022, coming up. So maybe Mark, you may get two of these, I don't know. But anyway, that's what I thought I should share with you. You know, they told us in 2019 that we should avoid negative people. In 2020, they told us we ought to avoid positive people. So changes come along that we aren't expecting. What will it bring? I don't know. You know, I've been saying I'm not a prophet. Sue argues with me a little bit on that one, but I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I do speak prophetically, but I don't foretell the future. So I think that's what I talk about when I say I'm not a prophet. I heard a prominent politician say recently that he thinks 2022 will be the most dangerous year that we have since 1939. I don't know. That's what he says, if you can believe politicians. But in this nation and globally, we do have some dark clouds on the horizon. I mean, you got your head in the sand if you don't realize that. We just do. But we also know that God is always sufficient to take care of all of our needs. No matter what's going to happen in 2022, God is still going to be on the throne. And we can rejoice in that. All right. The law was brought so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased the more. Lawlessness and rejection of authority is rampant in our land. Our Judeo-Christian ethic, in which the country was founded, is being questioned. Yet when sin abounds, more so does grace. The question is not will a standard be raised up, but will you and I and Messiah be part of that standard? Now, I think we make two mistakes. We say nothing bad will happen or everything bad will happen. If you are overly optimistic, you're probably going to be disappointed. Because get real. Things happen to us. And sometimes as Christians, I think we're a little bit overly optimistic. Or if you're overly pessimistic, you're often going to be apathetic. We complain about everything, but we never do anything about anything. And that's not a right mentality. I think we ought to be realist. A realist is a person who lives in reality, but is not bound by fatalism. In other words, we can make a difference in this world. Messiah can make a difference. You and I can make a difference. Can we change everything? No. But we can change some things. And that generally starts in changing ourselves. The question, all cultures in which we live have a way of conforming us to its precepts. It just happens, okay? And the question is not whether this will happen in our culture, but it's how it would happen. So we as Christians need to be on the alert of how we're being affected by our culture in 2022. Because the enemy is very clever. He changes his strategy according to how we change ours sometimes. And so we need to be alert with that. Now, how do we keep ourselves from being conformed? We do it by being transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Now, how are we transformed? It tells us in this scripture, the renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. Now, then we might ask, and thank you for asking, how do we renew our minds? By the Word of God. The Word of God renews our mind. The enemy always attacks us, well, generally attacks us in our minds first, because he knows if he gets us thinking in the wrong way, we will eventually act in the wrong way. And we are bombarded by this every day when we turn on our TVs, when we go out to our jobs, or when we just live in this world. We are bombarded by a culture in which we live. And the truth of the matter is, the Judeo-Christian culture is under attack. Okay? This country was founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, and that very ethic is being brought into question, which didn't happen in previous times. Maybe some, but not a lot. This word that we're talking about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Bible is a living organism, because it says here that the Word became flesh, and the Word was God. That is why you can read the Bible over and over again and still get something different out of it. I've read the Bible through every year as long as I can remember. That doesn't make me any better than anybody else, but it did make me better than I was. Okay? So we're not talking about comparison here or anything like that. Now let me say something very quickly about reading the Bible. One size doesn't fit all. Do you know that they say there's 8 different ways that we learn? Some of you, if you read something, it goes into your mind and out right away. Some of you, if you hear something, it goes in one ear and out the other. But you know, some people learn by seeing, by reading the Word. Some people learn by hearing the Word. If they read something, and then if someone tells them, they remember if they tell them, because they learn differently. Some of you are into music. Do you know I looked it up, there's an app called Sing the King James, and it's the whole Bible you can download that's put to music. And some of you really like music. All of us do some, but there's some of you that probably you could better learn if you just listen to that word put to musical, what's the word? Musical whatever. So my point is, you can't look at someone else and mimic how they do it. The point is, we need to be in the Word, because the Word is the only way that we can process or renew our minds. But you do that different ways and different circumstances. I had a friend of mine who, he was a nature guy, and he liked to go out and climb up a tree and read his Bible and pray. Now, that wouldn't work for me, you know, but it worked for him. So find out how you're wired and then go with it. But whatever way you are, you need God's word in 2022, because your mind is going to be, it's going to be controlled by something, either the word of God or the culture around you. And we have a choice whether which one that we choose. Okay? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I taught a Sunday school class in this church a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago. And they went together and they bought my wife and myself gift certificate, okay. My mind is fried. we went to there. First time I was ever there, last time I was ever there. You know, it was a little expensive for a school teacher. But anyway, we really enjoyed it, okay? And let me pick on Joe here. I could come up to Joe and I could say, Joe, have you ever been to Ruth Chris? Have you ever been to Ruth Chris? Yep. Uh-huh. But anyway, let's say he hasn't been there. And I could say, Joe, man, that steak comes out. It's just right to a certain temperature. And all the sides are like meals themselves. And you should have seen that dessert. And Joe believes me. He can even see it in his mind. And then I see Joe a couple weeks later. I said, did you go to Ruth Chris? He said, no. You see, I could mention to him again, I could get him salivating, but if he never goes and tries it for himself, he never really knows how good it is, and he never gets any kind of nutrition from it. That's how it is with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I believe in teaching and preaching, but if you live on what you get from your preacher or your Sunday school teacher, you're on a starvation diet once or twice a week. How would you like to only eat once or twice a week? You'd be doing pretty poorly. That's what most, well, let's take that back. That's what some people do. And we can't do that because we need, a good teacher makes people hungry enough to go and find out for themselves. He doesn't spoon feed them because it's all secondhand. Many people in many churches know about God, but they never really know God because they don't go and find out for themselves. But the truth of the matter, that takes time and a little bit of discipline. Oh, discipline. You're legalistic. No, it does. And God honors when we get serious enough with him to say, God, I'm going to give you my time of the day. And let me mention about this. I'm a morning person, you know. I'm up at 5, and that's when, you know, that's when I have my quiet time. Some of you, the best time may not be in the morning. You know, you got to find out how you're wired and how you can do it best. So don't copy someone else. But the point is, you need it. Okay. All right? In 2022, we need to learn how to swim upstream. God has put in the hearts of all true believers the desire to persevere to the end, to the return of Christ. And a matter of fact, it says in Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I'm in Revelation now in my reading. You know, we're at the end of the read. I don't understand what all that stuff's about. But you know what the big picture is? God's going to take care of business, and the enemy's going to resist. And there's going to be a battle. That's what the long and short of that book says. And it says, anybody who reads that book will get a blessing. Didn't say you'll understand it, but it said it will get a blessing. I've never taught on Revelation because I don't understand what some of it means. And maybe that's a problem with me, you know. Maybe one of these days God will give me a message on that. But in our culture, it will be an uphill battle. Plan for it. And when it happens, don't be surprised where everything looks like it's difficult to practice your faith. Because it's going to be that way, and it's going to get more worse. It's going to get worse. Excuse me, you English teachers. All right. I didn't teach English, as you can tell. All right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys, they had learned to swim upstream. They were in a foreign culture. And when we go out there as Christians, it seems like that it's a little bit like a foreign culture, doesn't it? I mean, we hear things that we never thought that we would hear. You know? Like, what gender are you? You know? I mean, that was pretty obvious to us. God said he created male and female, you know, that's all there was, but not anymore. And we're bombarded with that. And if you resist that, you're called a bigot. That's the long and short of it. The three Hebrew boys were not manipulated by the delicacies of life. You know, they had a certain type of food that they ate, and they were offered the delicacies of their position in, I think they were in Babylon, weren't they? I think. Somewhere, some foreign land. They refused to idolize man. They were submissive to the king. They honored the king, but they would not worship the king. And you know, as Christians, we make a mistake because sometimes we, in trying not to worship someone, don't honor authority. And we denigrate when we should resist the tendency to idolize but not be disrespectful. Because God doesn't call his people to be disrespectful. And sometimes we do that. But these three Hebrew boys were not like that. And the scripture says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. What were they saying? It says, he can save us, but even if he doesn't, you know, in Revelation said they triumphed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even unto death. You know, if we come to that point, what does the devil have to get us? Not a whole lot. And that's what the three Hebrew boys were saying. They were saying that even if we're thrown into the fire, we will not worship that idol. And that's victory, my friends. If we respond to our culture in that way, it's victory. Now let me say real quickly something about idols and love. The idols of any culture will not allow you to remain neutral. They'll force you to make a choice, either for them or for something else like your God. But love and idols are not the same thing. Isaac Newton, famous Iceman earth science teacher, famous scientist, was a committed Christian. He had many loves, but he only had one God. You see, as a Christian, we can have loves in our life, but we can only have one God. And we miss that sometimes. I'm sort of a gadget person. You know, I often say I was born 50 years too early because I just like gadgets, you know, watches and things like that. I remember I used to go on mission trips and I'd take my watch with me. And when I'd get home, my wife would look at my wrist. She'd say, "Where's your watch?" And I'd smile a little bit. She'd say, "You didn't give away your watch again, did you?" I said, "Honey, this guy, he liked my watch, and he would never be able to afford something like this." And I just felt God said, "Give it to him." You can tell something, whether something is an idol, by when God requires it from you, do you resist? If you can freely give it, then something God has given you to enjoy, and there's no guilt in it. If you hold on to it, that's your idol, and you better get rid of it. And that's how idols go. The three Hebrew boys did not have idols in their lives. And you know, there's a lot of idols in this culture in which we live, and they all draw on us, trying to get them to serve them. But you know, idols are always made to disappoint you. If you put your hope in an idol, you'll always be disappointed, whether it be a person, a thing, or something like that. Never fulfills. Only God can fulfill a heart. But they still draw on us, believe me. Pluralism. All paths lead to heaven. You know, and there's the problem with the things that we struggle with is there are certain things that are good about things. Like, it's good to accept all people. As a matter of fact, the Christian culture is the one that accepts all people. Not what they say, but accept them as people, loves them. I mean, we don't try to wipe people out like the radical Muslims do. We try to persuade them, but we love them. So part of pluralism said, well, we need to accept all people. We do, but we don't accept what all people say. Pluralism and Christianity do not sync. Because the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now, when you tell people in the world that, you're going to make them angry. And you know why? Because you're stepping on their God of tolerance. And what's happening in our culture today is that tolerance is taking precedent over truth. The truth is, Jesus is the only way. Their thing is, we need to accept everybody. They don't care whether you believe in Jesus, but they care deeply whether you believe in only Jesus, and that Jesus is the only way you can get to heaven. And you'll find that the people who preach tolerance are some of the most intolerant people on earth if you disagree with them. It's true. It's true. How do we win that battle? We cling to truth. Whether it sounds good or not, Jesus is the only way. When I talk to people, and can say, well, you're so narrow-minded. I say, yeah, I am. I said, but here's what it says in the Bible. I didn't write it. I just believe it. Blame God, don't blame me. Of course, that doesn't really work, you know, but and we just need to stand on truth. That's all we can do. And we'll find that truth wins out in the end, if you read the end of the book. All right. What has spawned all the Reformation or revivals in church history? Martin Lloyd-Jones, an famous English preacher, says that preaching, great preaching, has spawned the great revivals of the past. You also hear people talking about prayer. I believe prayer is what spawned great preaching. Now, you can look at it either way, I guess. You know, maybe great preaching spawns great prayer, and great prayer spawns great preaching. It's like, well, I was going to say, who comes first, the chicken or the egg? But we all know the chicken came first, okay? At least I think he did. I used to teach in the church that I went to. I taught a large Sunday school class, had 75 to 100 people in it. And there was this little black lady by the name of Marlene. And after almost every Sunday, after every Sunday school class, she would come up and she would almost be jumping up and down. She was one of those little bubbly type of ladies, you know, telling me how much she was getting out of my lesson and so forth. And then some other people in the class, they almost looked like they were sort of bored to tears, you know. And I used to think to myself, what's the difference? They're hearing the same thing. And one week, this little lady came up and was doing the same thing, telling me how much she says, I never fail to pray for you before I come. And God spoke to me and said, that's it. She put something into it, and she got something out of it. You know, there is a law of sowing and reaping that's true in the church, or just true anywhere. And that lady, God was rewarding her. She came expecting. She came with an expectation, and God did not disappoint her. My point, in 2022, we need to be praying for Mark. We need to be praying for him. And I believe that he'll reward us for that. No matter how it sounds, he will reward us. Because I'm sure mine didn't sound good all the time, but that lady thought it did. At least that's what she was getting. Once in a while, a lamb is born and the mother sheep rejects it. And they say that the little lamb will go to by itself and will lay with its neck down, and it appears that there's something wrong with its neck. It'll look like its spirit is broken. And these lambs are called bummer lambs. And unless the shepherd intervenes, the lamb will die rejected and alone. It'll die. So what the shepherd does is that he takes the lamb into his house. He wraps him in blankets and keeps him by a warm fire. He often takes him on his chest, and the lamb can actually feel or hear the heartbeat of the shepherd. He does that until the lamb is strong enough to go back out with the flock. And they say whenever the shepherd goes out, and calls the sheep. The bummer lamb is always the first to come. Do you know why? He knows the shepherd's voice because he's been living close to the shepherd. My suggestion for you for 2012 is live close to the shepherd. If you do that, you're going to know the shepherd's voice. And I can't tell you how important it is when you fight the battle that you will fight out there to hear the voice of God. Because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he will accuse you. He will say things about you by people who aren't even trying to say bad things about you. But it comes across that way. And it's only when you can come back and hear the good shepherd's voice that you can persevere in that. Because if you don't, you'll become a bummer lamb. If you believe everything that people say about you instead of what God, because he's the only one that really counts in the final analysis. We're all a little like bummer lambs, aren't we? Except that little lamb didn't deserve that. And if you're like me, most of the time, I deserve it a little bit. Maybe a little more than a little bit. But yet that doesn't deter the good shepherd. In 2022, some of you may experience rejection from the world. It happens. There's lawlessness in the land. And disobedience always has to respond to obedience. Why do you think that some people are always ticked off at you? Because when they see obedience and their disobedience, they know something's wrong. And the only way they can cure that is to bring you down. And they try to do it. It's just part of the territory. Sorry to bring you this bad news, but it is. It's not really bad news if you know what's happening. No matter what happens in 2022, if we live close to the Good Shepherd, we'll sense his heartbeat, we'll know his voice as we abide in his word, and that's how you know his voice, primarily by his word, and he will take care of all of our needs. It says Happy New Year up here. Happy. Happy, happy. You know, God never really promised us to be happy. He promised us joy. Joy is a whole different thing than being happy. Joy you have in the midst of adversity, in the midst of sorrow. And that's what he promised us. No matter what happens, I'm with you. Even until the end. Christianity is always forward-looking. Yes, we ponder the past in relation to God's faithfulness, but we're always looking forward to the soon return of Christ. Now, I don't know when that's going to be, tomorrow or 10,000 years down the road. I don't know. But the Bible teaches us we're supposed to be watchful for it. I'm from Western Pennsylvania, and I had a good friend who passed away about 10 years ago now. And when I go back, I haven't been back since the pandemic was over, I usually go by the cemetery. And I noticed something that when I first started going there, you know, I didn't see too many graves that I recognized except my friend. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing some of my classmates' graves. And then one time I was there, I went walking down this hill, and there were these two graves. They were the Tytler twins, some of the most vibrant, popular kids in my class, both there. Mortal remains planted on that hill. I got in my car, and I thought to myself, Ken, this thing is winding down. And there was a little sadness in my heart. But also, I noticed that there was a bit of a raising of an expectation of going home in my heart. It wasn't overwhelming. I'm not in a big hurry to get there. But I noticed that I was starting to think about my eternal home. And that's not sad. This earth is not our home. We were made for eternity, to live with Christ. When I'm I think I'm gonna be feeling sorry for you guys. And you know what that is? That's called the great hope. That great hope that just as Jesus Christ arose from the dead, so shall you and I. And only us Christians have that hope. And I think that's what Paul was talking about when he says we can forget what lies behind and look forward what lies ahead. So we can look forward to 2022. We can look forward to that because we look forward to that great day when we'll be with Jesus. Sometimes I wish I was there already. But then I rethink it and reconsider. You know, there will always be this thing in our hearts, apprehension about the separation of the soul and spirit. That's just there. You know, someone who says they don't have it, they're probably either foolish or they're lying. You know, there will always be that apprehension. But yet, overriding that is the knowledge and the hope that we're going to be with Jesus. That just as God brought that body out of the grave, he's going to bring ours out too. That's what the Bible says. Look it up. See if I'm lying to you. It says that. And I believe it. We're going to finish by singing that song that has those words, first words there. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And let's sing this as a declaration for 2022. That we know that the one great purpose in life is to follow the cross of Christ.